Our scripture reading today is from Luke 14, verses 1, 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both you and him may come and say, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited them, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
So I have a bit of a confession to make. I love really bad teen movies, especially the ones of the late 90s and early aughts. They're just so profoundly terrible. It's the same story over and over and over again, where it's the new kid trying to find their identity, their place in the world. It's always the haves versus the have-nots, the cool kids versus the nerds. There's always a great makeover montage. You know, you can really, like, chart the course of all of these movies, and it's just fun. It's just mindless fun, and I love them. And in all of these movies, it feels like there's that quintessential cafeteria scene where you are walking through the different tables with our protagonist, and we see all the cliques laid out before us. It is the social hierarchy based on what table you sit at. There's the table for the jocks, and then the nerds, and then the drama kids, and then the preppy kids, and then the goth kids, and it's very clear who belongs where. But, as all good movies need a plot, it is inevitable that the main character ends up falling in love with someone who is at a different table than them. And now we have to spend the rest of the movie trying to figure out how we move from table to table. So as I was reading this scripture this week, I kept having this nagging feeling, I think I've seen this movie before. I feel like the Pharisees were trying to figure out, okay, where do I sit? What table do I belong at? Those are the cool kids, I want to sit there, but what if I sit down and they all get up and leave? Or I sit there and then they tell me, "You don't belong," and they throw the tray of food over my head, because that's what you do in a teen movie. And the Pharisees, in their culture, they have become the plastics from the Mean Girls movie. You know who I'm talking about. Yes, thank you. The ones who have very specific rules about this is how we do things. You do not wear a tank top 2 days in a row. You can only wear your hair up in a ponytail once a week. And most importantly of all, on Wednesdays, we wear pink. Their rules made no sense, but they helped them have a sense of identity. And the Pharisees were the same way. They had rules about who could sit with them, what you had to do before you got to the table. And like all good movies, we had to have someone come in and stir it all up. So they invited Jesus to dinner. The guy who we know doesn't follow any of the rules. So Jesus comes in and he calls them out on their quest for popularity, their quest for status. And he's like the quirky friend, maybe Ducky from Pretty in Pink, I don't know, who says to the protagonist, hey, you're doing this wrong. You are great the way you were. Or maybe it's the person who comes in to give great dating advice, because I feel like that's almost what he's doing there, really. Where it's like, hey, you got to play hard to get. You can't just go and be like, hey, look at me, I'm the new cool kid. You have to, like, make them want it. And Jesus changes it a little bit and says, you have to be humble. You don't know who's coming, who is higher than you. So be humble. But really, like, the cynic part of me is like, is he really talking about a humble brag where, like, you pretend that, like, you're being really humble about this and, like, you're, oh, you know, I was at this dinner party and sat at the end of the table and then the host was like, hey, you're the guest of honor. I was so embarrassed, had to move up, kick someone else out of their seat. It was, you know. I don't think that Jesus is just teaching us how to be popular, how to make friends and influence people. And I don't think that this is just about learning how to be yourself, that you were cool before you lost the glasses and got the hip haircut, before the popular boy asked you out. It's about being confident enough to believe in yourself. But that's only act one of the movie, right? The second act comes in where you make it. You get the invite to the party, to the table. And Jesus turns this around and says to the host, you can't just invite all of your friends. You can't just invite the people who are going to make you look better because they're sitting at the same table as you. It's the scene where the former nerd goes to the party and doesn't bring along the friends that were with them the whole time. The misfits, the outcasts. You see, the types of people that Jesus is listing off is the ones that you should be inviting. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. They're the ones who by law are excluded from being a Pharisee. By law, they are not welcome at that table. And Jesus is saying, I don't care that they didn't wear pink on Wednesday, they belong. As I read this story, and I couldn't really place myself watching it in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, but really a cafeteria in a Hollywood movie. I couldn't get past this idea that it's just a story about being humble and practicing hospitality. I had this feeling that it's so much more than learning how to be yourself and invite in the people who are on the fringes. Because I think what it's really getting at is our need and our desire to have a sense of belonging. I think the conflict here is about where we seek our praise, where we get our validation. Do we get it based on what table we sit at? Do we get it from our ability to follow all the religious laws? Or do we get it from somewhere else? All throughout the Gospels, Jesus and the Pharisees are constantly arguing with each other. The Pharisees have all of these rules about the way things are supposed to be. This is a day, a Sabbath. That means rest. That means sit down. That means you aren't allowed to do any work. But Jesus will see someone in pain. He will reach out, touch them, and heal them, and that is against the law. The Pharisees will say, you can't go and pick food on the Sabbath. You need to sit down. And Jesus goes and gathers food to feed his disciples and those that follow him. Because when people are hungry, you feed them, no matter what day it is. So Jesus is constantly having this argument with them. His tagline is, I know you've heard it said, but I say to you. Right? When we begin to focus too much on the rules, we lose sight of something so much more. We lose sight of what is sacred and holy. When you put your identity as one of the plastic mean girls, or when you put your identity as a jock, or as someone who has an occupation, or someone as a mother or a father, whenever you put that other identity first, you can lose sight of your calling. Their need to be the best only brought out the worst in them. Or maybe another way to look at it is sometimes our insecurity about the unknown, about the poorly defined, in our faith life, that can be really hard to handle, so we seek comfort in rules and in expectations and rituals and traditions. The ambiguous nature of compassion and mercy are hard to embrace at times, so it can be so much more comfortable to ask the question of, who do I need to be compassionate towards? When's the right time to do it? And the Pharisees got blinded by those rules and those expectations that they were no longer able to experience the joy of living a life of harmony with God. I have to admit, I kind of enjoy ragging on the Pharisees. They're kind of a lovely punching bag of homiletics. It's really hard to actually give them the benefit of the doubt, because all Jesus ever does, and we know Jesus is the hero of the story, so he can't be wrong, right? All Jesus does is tell them that they're wrong. So we're like, yeah, no, we can dismiss them. They're wrong. But when we stop for just a moment, I think we can see that they are more than just the popular kid who gets put in their place by the end of the movie. We all kind of cheer, right? They're actually so much closer to who we are. It's really easy for us to recognize the ridiculous rules that they had, the ridiculous expectations they had, but it's a lot harder for us to identify that in our own lives. I think about the rules that I grew up with when I was a kid. We had to sit and say grace together before every meal. Well, every dinner, whenever we were around, right? God is great, God is good, let us thank him for this food, amen. That was all we said. Did it bring us closer to God to be saying that? I don't know. But we had to do it. Would an extemporaneous prayer have been better? I don't know. I think even as progressive Christians like us, who have interpretations that are so much more lenient than some of our fellow Christians, I think even we get caught in this trap. What do you feel beholden to on your faith journey? What expectations have you placed on yourself that are actually holding you back? What's keeping you from the freedom that is found in Christ and Christ alone? The preoccupations of the dinner guests gave them their own reward, their popularity, their status, their job well done. That was the end of their story. But Jesus reminds us that there is more out there, that there is a greater reward, a deeper sense of joy, of purpose and connection. We've been invited into something so much greater than we can ever imagine. A place of serving from joy, not obligation. We have been invited to live out the realm of God. We've been invited into the fullness of life, of grace, of peace, of loving compassion and connection. And all that is asked of us is that we set aside our distractions, the comfortably clear rules and expectations, and lean into the mystery that we are beloved children of God. Jesus sets a table for us. Every week, we are invited to set aside our distractions, our labels. We're invited to commune with God and with each other. There is a seat at the table for you, and for you, and for you. There are no games here. There are no expectations, no labels, just love and acceptance, freely given. Because we are, first and foremost, the beloved children of God. Amen.